This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Friday, March 26th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, remembering Hannah Smith. Colorado lawmakers push for gun reform. A day in the life of a miner with Fintan Cole and a mountain weather forecast. Hannah Smith was a light in the community. Raised in Telluride, she grew up on the slopes, playing in the terrain park. Scott Pittenger is the director of mountain operations at Telski. He was a friend and co-worker of Hannah's. He remembers meeting her for the first time 15 years ago, skiing the mountain.
I was kind of fresh out of the Midwest and on top of Gold Hill wondering how I was going to get my way down, and I meet this young, bouncy girl, and she absolutely tears down the mountain. And, you know, ever since, I've known Hannah as the best skier that I know.
Hannah Smith passed away in Telluride on March 14th. She was 29 years old.
Hannah was an incredible person. She was a superstar. She was just a glowing ray of sunshine everywhere she went. She had this positive aura around her, and, you know, everything that came out of her mouth was positive, and she made everybody feel special. You know, she had this unique characteristic to just make everything that she touched a little bit better.
After graduating from Telluride High School, Smith headed off to Boulder, where she studied environmental science and studio art at CU Boulder. But soon, she was back in Telluride, working in the terrain park, raking and building. In 2018, she took over as the manager. Pittenger remembers her infectious passion for the terrain park and the mountain.
She's sitting here with me in my office, just bursting at the seams with ideas about how to improve the parks, new events that she wants to do, how to improve the whole mountain experience. Just so full of passion and optimism for, you know, what the parks could be and what the mountain could be. And we'd have this really good conversation, and then we'd say, okay, we'd have a little bit of a game plan, and she'd leave my office, and then like clockwork, 30 seconds later, she'd burst right back in with another idea, something else that she wanted to add to the list of things to do. She just had so much energy, and the ideas just poured out of her.
Tributes to Smith have glimmered across social media and the community since her passing. The Telluride Brewing Company printed Hannah Forever on its cans. We love you, Hannah, was painted across the terrain park. Smith exuded positivity. She was compassionate and inspiring. That's how Pittenger hopes people will remember her.
People should remember Hannah just the way that she was. A beam of sunshine that just brought joy and positivity and fun into all aspects of life. You know, whether she was raking in the park or digging in the mud or skiing powder, you know, she just had a knack for turning difficult or painstaking projects and tasks into something that was fun and was able to create a positive experience out of just about anything in life and really take things over the edge when you were already having fun. Just a really incredible person to be around.
Pittenger encourages everyone to embrace her spirit and lean into joy.
Life has its ups and downs. It's a good thing to seek out help when you need it, accept help when it's offered, and to seek out others that are in need. It's important and admirable to take care of yourself and those that you love. And try to spend some time each day just being joyful, just like Hannah would.
Hannah Smith's friends will be holding a celebration of life on Saturday, March 27th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the base of Chair 4 in Mountain Village. In the wake of the mass shooting at a King Soopers grocery store in Boulder this week, Colorado lawmakers are making a push for more gun regulation. In this installment of Capital Conversation, KOTO's State House reporter Scott Franz talks about what could be coming up. Hi, Scott. Thanks for taking a couple minutes to chat with me today.
Hey, my pleasure, Julia.
So today I wanted to chat with you primarily about gun reform and regulations, especially in the wake of the shooting in Boulder on Monday. First, can you, share a little bit about, what the mood is around the Capitol this week following the shooting?
It's been very sad tone at the Capitol. There were, lots of lawmakers who live in the city, and they gave some very emotional, tearful speeches the day after, and that goes all the way to Governor Polis. But that more somber tone has shifted in the last couple of days. You take a look at, for example, the Boulder lawmakers held a town hall over Zoom. You had some of them saying, that their initial grief has really turned to anger and calls to action. So, it's kind of gone from reflecting on the loss to quickly pivoting toward already discussions about policy proposals.
So on that note, there was legislation moving through the state capitol having to do with gun reform prior to the events this week. Can you share a little bit about where those bills are and then what potential legislation could come out since Monday?
There are two pieces of gun legislation that are advancing through the legislature that are widely expected to pass. They've kind of cleared the biggest hurdles so far. One would add new requirements for gun storage, basically penalizing gun owners who fail to lock up their firearms and keep them out of the hands of children and people who are at risk. The other bill requires gun owners to call police whenever they realize that their firearm has been lost or stolen. They would have 5 days to do that or start to face penalties. The first, I believe, is $25 fine, but then it ramps up after that. The thinking behind that one is to help police really track down firearms that get stolen so they can't be used in any crimes or gun violence. But these bills, they weren't really initiated by mass shootings like what we saw in Boulder. These two are more to prevent suicides, to prevent, children accidentally getting a hold of guns and injuring themselves or others. But those are the ones moving through already. Now, the ones on the horizon, the most specific calls we've heard in the wake of the Boulder shooting is this question of an assault weapons ban. Colorado has not taken that step statewide. Currently, there are about 7 other states that have. But this gets a little complicated because, there's going to have to be some work done on the front end to kind of define that ban. I've read lots of national reporting about, how tricky it can be to define, what an assault weapon is. But at least there's some initial discussions around that proposal. The other idea that's coming up more frequently now is, waiting periods and universal background checks, things like that. But the assault weapons ban is probably the biggest proposal lawmakers are now talking about in the aftermath of Monday's shooting.
We know that gun regulation is always a contentious subject and topic. Obviously, Democrats are in control of both the House and the Senate. Governor Jared Polis is a Democrat. But does it seem like, especially for these bigger pushes, does having control in all of those spaces mean that this is likely to pass?
It doesn't. You take a look at the last big gun debate we had here in Colorado over the red flag law, for example, and that barely made it through the state Senate. There are several moderate Democrats from districts where there's a very high population of gun owners. And we've also seen lawmakers who do support any variation of gun reforms threatened with recall attempts. But I think what we're hearing at the Capitol now and what will be interesting to watch as this political debate goes forward is some things have changed even since the red flag bill was passed. You've probably seen the national headlines about the state of the NRA and the financial woes going on there. You know, Boulder Democrats who were on this town hall phrased it that they, in their words, see the clouds starting to break, and they see now as an opportunity to get some of these initiatives passed. So it's going to take a couple days to really see, you know, whether the support is there to do something like an assault weapons ban. I think, you know, you might see some say, well, let's wait to see if Congress takes action first because it'd be more impactful. But Colorado is still a politically complex state, and there's going to be lots of debates and questions, and we'll just have to see where this goes.
It's definitely a complex issue that we will be following as it moves through the legislature. Scott, I really appreciate you taking a couple minutes to chat with me today.
Hey, my pleasure, Julia. Thanks for having me.
That was KOTO's Scott Franz reporting from Denver.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
This week in A Day in the Life of a Miner, we're flipping the script. And Telluride High School's Fintan Cole is in the hot seat.
Told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know.
Hi, Fintan. Thanks for letting me flip the script and interview you today.
Hey, no problem.
You are going to be coming back to fully in-person school after spring break. How does that feel?
That feels really good. I mean, I kind of like going into the school and seeing all my friends in person rather than online.
Is there anything that you're going to actually miss about doing school online?
I mean, Zoom has been very efficient these past few months, so I'm kind of excited to see more people come into the school.
You touched on it already, but what is the thing that you're most excited about for coming back fully in person?
Well, I'm more excited about doing the assignments and seeing all my friends, and with the CDC reducing the limit from 6 feet to 3 feet really, really brings us closer to the end of this pandemic. I know they've already vaccinated the old people, they've vaccinated the doctors, they've vaccinated the teachers, and pretty soon everybody will have the vaccine and this pandemic will be over.
Fintan, I couldn't interview you without getting an update as well on how sports are going. Who are your favorite teams that you're following right now, and how are they doing?
Well, the football season is over. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. Way to go, Bucks! And the Buckeyes, unfortunately, lost in the national championship to Alabama, which I thought was going to be another perfect season. And I was pretty disappointed that they lost. It was close for a quarter, but then we couldn't keep up with them. They were just too good. And Trey Sermon went to the hospital for severe injuries. So I really hope he gets better so that he can come back with Ohio State next season. And Tom Brady says he's going to play one more year with the Bucs before retiring. So the Bucs are probably going to be tough again this year. And baseball season, I don't know about baseball season, but I'm looking forward to recapping the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the Red Sox and the Cubs so that we know who's going to the World Series and who's going to be eliminated when I find out in October. And the Chicago Blackhawks are going to be pretty good this season. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. I'll have to recap later this week.
Fintan, what is it? Obviously, you know a lot about a lot of different sports. What is it about football that you like so much?
We have like a family tradition of football. Like my mom and dad both went to Ohio State, and there was a football team in Ohio State which they loved so much. And football has been carried around for years in our family tree now. My paternal grandfather was a huge Steelers fan, and when he passed away, it was a really sad moment for all of us. And the Steelers tradition has been carried down to my dog, Sadie, who is 12 and a half. She has always been a Steelers fan ever since she sniffed my Pittsburgh Penguins jersey, which was really cool. And she's witnessed Pittsburgh winning a couple of Stanley Cups, but I don't think has ever witnessed Pittsburgh winning a Super Bowl, I'll have to check later this week about that.
Well, Fenton, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me about school coming back in person, about football, about all things sports, and we will talk with you next week.
Hey, no problem.
The winter season isn't over yet, but the Telluride Ski and Golf Resort is already planning for summer. This week, Telski announced it will open for the summer season starting June 19th, running 7 days a week through September 19th, and staying open on the weekends through October 3rd. Telski's summer plans include the bike park, which will open a new technical intermediate trail called Scrubber. According to a news release, the trail will cut off from the Tommyknocker Trail. It will be steeper, tighter, and have both natural and man-made features. New this summer will also be Telski's Canopy Adventure. The course will feature zip lines, aerial bridges, and rappels. The adventure course was originally scheduled to open in the summer of 2020, but was pushed back due to COVID. The San Miguel Power Association is going electric. Vehicle, that is.
We know that things are changing in the passenger vehicle market. There are predictions that almost 30% of that market is going to be electric vehicles by the year 2030. And so with all these electric vehicles on the road, we're going to need infrastructure to get them charged.
That's Alex Shelley, communications executive at SMPA. This week, the Power Co-op announced it will be installing electric vehicle charging stations at its offices in both Nucla and Ridgeway, with funding from a state Charge Ahead Colorado grant. Of course, installing charging stations isn't purely altruistic.
Transportation has not been a source of electricity revenue. That's normally, gas. Most automobiles are gas. And so that we have an interest, obviously, in that.
But Shelley adds, with electric cars looking more and more the way of the future, he says SMPA wants to make having an electric vehicle as easy as possible for co-op members. SMPA is in the beginning stages of acquiring the charging stations and doesn't have a timeline for when they'll be in place. Once installed, the charging stations will be open to the public. The Colorado Department of Transportation will be filling potholes on Highway 550 next week. The construction will take place north of Ridgeway, near Ridgeway State Park and Reservoir. During work hours, there will be single-lane alternating traffic and reduced speed limits. Motorists should expect delays up to 15 minutes. Construction will take place Monday, March 29th through Friday, April 2nd, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. A showdown is looming among the states that rely on the Colorado River for drinking and irrigation water. Negotiations are set to start on the river's future among worsening drought conditions. And right now, Western water leaders are attempting to work out their internal issues before the main talks begin. Lexi Peary from KUER, Ariana Brocious from Arizona Public Media, and KUNC's Luke Runyon have more.
I'm Lexi Peary at the Santala Reservoir in southwest Utah. This lake is the endpoint for the proposed Lake Powell pipeline, which would pump water from the Colorado River to this growing corner of the state. It's an important bargaining chip in the state's negotiation strategy. It's also led others in the watershed to raise serious concerns. Don Ipson is a Republican state senator from the area.
And they want to bring this to a resolution and push us out, and we can't let that happen. They got whole staffs that their whole purpose is to stop Utah from having it, and particularly stop the Lake Powell pipeline.
To fight back, Utah lawmakers are creating a new Colorado River Authority. It will be focused on pushing for more of Utah's share of the river. Gene Shawcroft will be part of the authority. He's also Utah's representative for interstate negotiations.
Each state, in my mind, should have the ability to use its water when it chooses to do so.
He says Utah hasn't used its full allocation of Colorado River water that was allocated to them nearly a century ago. But critics of that approach say projects like the Lake Powell pipeline threaten the whole system, and say Utah is ignoring the science on climate change. But while Utah wants to grow into its allocation, it's a very different conversation in other parts of the watershed, like Arizona.
I'm Ariana Brocious in Tucson. Some of the water from the Colorado River enters the CAP, or Central Arizona Project Canal, becoming a ribbon of blue that winds through miles of arid desert to reach the cities of Phoenix and Tucson. Arizona is already taking cuts to its CAP supply, and if current projections hold, they'll increase nearly threefold next year, says Ted Cook, the project's general manager.
So 512,000 acre feet coming out of the CAP supply is about a third, 30% to a third. That's a lot.
Arizona could also lose a lot more water if the levels in Lake Mead keep dropping. The state's junior water rights mean its supply is more vulnerable. Cook says Arizona is getting good practice at reining in its uses as supplies shrink.
When you look at the drought contingency plan, at every tier level, Arizona is taking the most, and sometimes a lot more.
Still, Arizona can't shoulder the whole burden, he says. Other lower basin states also need to cut back. Arizona has reassembled the committee charged with negotiating the 2019 drought contingency plan to handle the upcoming negotiations. That includes a diverse group of delegates. But some still worry groups that have been excluded in the past, like tribes and environmentalists, won't get fair representation this time.
I'm Luke Runyon. I'm here at the Continental Divide in northern Colorado, close to the headwaters of the Colorado River. It's starting to snow here. 70% of the river's flow comes from Colorado, and Colorado Water Conservation Board Director Becky Mitchell says that fact alone leads water leaders in her state to feel protective of the river.
First and foremost, I think it's important as Colorado's commissioner that we're looking at protecting our legal entitlement on the Colorado River and protecting our state's waters for those who depend on it.
Leading up to the negotiations, Upper Basin leaders, like Mitchell, have been under pressure to consider implementing what's referred to as a use cap. Water demands on the river in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico have been flat since the late 1980s, and putting a hard limit on future uses would give planners more certainty. But Mitchell says that concept is a non-starter.
I'm not ready to go there just yet.
This is a central tension on the river. Basin states recognize the need to be thinking of and managing the watershed as a whole, but still jealously guard their own river allocations. Recent studies have shown there will be a breaking point when states are forced to cut back because supplies keep shrinking. But figuring out who bears the greatest burden is what's up for negotiation.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for a 40% chance of snow showers tonight with cloudy skies and a low around 15 degrees. Saturday should be partly sunny with a high near 40. Saturday night, expect clear skies with a low around 15. Sunday calls for sunny skies during the day and clear skies at night, with a high near 50 degrees and a low in the mid-20s. This has been the news for Friday, March 26th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206.
We'll be right back.
we would like to thank everyone who donated to CODO during our Winter Fund Drive. A huge thank you to Wyatt Listrom, Jordan Bushhouse, Elizabeth and Michael Tobin, Hannah Kiermeyer, John Love, Karen Redden, Ron Pence, Don Ratcliffe, Jill Kane, Charlie Dennison, Jennifer Hubbard, Saul Schultheus Jerry, Jessica Hetty, Laura Ohm, Claire Irvin, Chris Delaney Haynes, Kristen Costello, Joanna Kanow, Chris Wren, Austin Cleek, David Oyster, Tony Archer, Jim Berkowitz, Penelope Gleason, Sandy McLaughlin, Lee Betton, Wendell Iverson, Adam Baker, Max Yancey, John Pandolfo, AJ Singla, Dufree Day, Patricia Chandler, Danielle Jenkins, and Charles Norris. Thank you all so much.